first family had it all. They had everything they could have wanted or imagined. And then they lost it all. Everything they could have wanted or imagined, they lost it all. And ever since then, the world changed. And struggles within families changed. Dynamics between a husband and a wife, between a brother and a brother, or a brother and a sister, they all changed. And we believe that prayer is ultimately the key to getting the family back. And so we embark on this mission here over the next few weeks to talk about prayer. To talk about just that, just the idea of praying, but not just praying, but praying as individuals and praying as families together. Matthew chapter 18 says this, starting in verse 19. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, I am with them. And now, that's a promise that is made from God, from Christ to us. Doesn't mean when you're by yourself, God isn't with you. But there's something to the fact of us doing life together. That's why it always baffles me when somebody says, well, I can be saved and be by myself. I don't need the church. I beg to differ from a scriptural standpoint. The people at the Home Point did a survey, and in this survey, they asked what was the least likely activity in the family realm. And number one, the least likely activity was prayer done between a husband and a wife. The second was close to it. The second least likely thing to do was prayer with the whole family. And so, you see, there's a dynamic that has changed, and this is church people. This is not going out on the street and asking people randomly who they don't know about, or they don't know that if they go to church or not. These are people that regularly attend where they did this survey. And number one least likely thing was prayer between a husband and a wife. And the second was prayer simply in the home. Now I realize those don't simply encompass everybody that is involved in our lives, or everybody, it doesn't represent everybody here, but a good portion of it does. And so as we kick off this campaign, we want to bring something to view, and it's called Pray 752. And so basically what it is we're going to challenge everybody in this church family, and we're going to challenge you to pray 7 days a week. If you're not already doing that, maybe some of you are already doing that, but pray 7 days a week by yourself, individually. And then to pray 5 days a week with your family, if you have a family at home, that you're going to pray 5 days a week with them. And now, mealtime is included, so if you're praying at mealtime, that's one. But other than that, there are other times that we pray as a family. And here's the kicker. The least likely in that survey was to pray between a husband and a wife, at least twice a week. And some of you may be doing that. Somebody said, can I pray 777 or something like that? Sure you can. That works out just fine. But we want to challenge us in this campaign, prayer campaign, to do this. And so there's some brochures, and if you didn't get one in the bulletin, let me grab one down here by Aaron. These are simply some things that we are going to, as a church, resource you with. And so as we talk about prayer, as we go through prayer, this is a prayer at home guide. You might think, well, I don't need a guide to pray. Well, maybe you don't. But honestly, sometimes some of us need this. Some of us, when we're praying with our spouse, we don't know how to say a prayer. We don't know how to start a prayer. So there's some ideas about praying in this. And so if you didn't get one, I say what we're going to do. They're going to be at the Home Point Center is what we're going to do. We're going to leave them out at our Home Point Center. And if you didn't get one, swing by and get one of those. On the back, it has some resources for us. If those will come up on the screen, I think they should be. I think they should come up next. I'm wearing the wristband. It says 752. And on it, it says, prayer stands for praise, request, admit, and yield. And that's going to be our next four sermons on a prayer. And so each letter stands for each one of those. And so there are these black ones that I have on my wrist. You can have probably as many as you want if you want to take one to a friend. There's also some these others. They're probably a little more if you ladies want to put them up in a hair tie or something like that. Or you can even make a bookmark out of them. Now, why do we do this? It's just simply a reminder. It's simply resourcing us to be able to remember to pray 752. And then the next screen, if it will come up, there are two books out there that we want to resource you guys with. This is the first one, What Happens When I Talk to God. This is to read with your children about a prayer. And then the other one that will come up is Praying Circles Around Your Marriage. And we got some of those, and those are $11 a piece. And let me remind everybody that anything we do or sell out there, we don't make a dime on it. Matter of fact, if we can round down, we round down on that to pass that on to you and so that you can be able to have some resources. And so as we begin this study, we want to let those be known and some resources that will be available. On the way out the doors, those wristbands will be handed out to you if you like one, or we have lots of them, so take more than one. You can put them anywhere. You can put them around your mirror. You can put them at home. You can wear them. Give them to a friend. Use these resources on a prayer. Matter of fact, one thing that's interesting is our text to giving. It's coming. Well, it's already here. So if you type 11-2, which is the cost of the book, 11 and home to 575, and it's out there, 205-1321, you can pay straight from your phone. It's a pretty neat opportunity to be able to give ourselves resources. And so those are the resources, less important than the scripture and the idea behind a prayer, but nevertheless important in our prayer lives, that we have things that can help us, have things that build us, that we can read with our kids, to help your kids to understand what prayer life is. And make sure that you take advantage of those things at the Home Point Center, which is right outside in our fellowship hall, and other resources out there available as well. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22 says, "If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer." Now, this is a God can do anything type thing, not a bossing God around. There's something that changes in prayer. We're going to talk about what changes in a moment. But if we are going to claim God's promises or God's answered prayers and His promise about answered prayers, there's some things that we need to understand. As mamas and daddies and as individuals in life, we need to understand that if we're going to claim that promise that God will answer our prayers, first of all, is a relationship with Him. John chapter 15, when Jesus talking to His disciples, said this, "If you remain in Me, and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." You see, I believe that God hears everyone, because God created the world. And I believe that God in His omniscience knows everything, and He hears everything. And so that if you're a non-Christian and you say something, that God hears that. I don't believe that God somehow simply tunes people out. But as a non-Christian, if you don't walk with God, if you don't have a relationship with God, maybe you're here worshiping today, and you're kind of teetering on the idea, do I want to have a relationship with God or not? Or maybe you've had a relationship with God and it's kind of suffering. The non-Christians are not guaranteed to an answer in a prayer. But those who belong to Him, have a relationship with Him, there is a unique guarantee that we have that God hears and that God will answer our prayers. If we're going to claim the promise of God's answered prayers, family, we're going to have to make sure that we have a good relationship, a right relationship with Him. And so maybe this morning, worship is not about, hey, I liked that song, or I didn't like that song, or I felt this, or I felt... Maybe this morning is about your relationship with God and bringing that back to where it needs to be. Or if you don't have a relationship with God, you've never been baptized into Jesus Christ, maybe today is the day for that. The second thing that we're going to have to do if we're going to claim God's promised answered prayers is make the right request. John chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Sometimes we don't make the right request. I mean, it has been a long, long drought. I remember when we lost to the Carolina Panthers and didn't go back to the Super Bowl. When God's favorite team did not go back to the Super Bowl. And so when we pray, I'll take that as an amen. When we pray, don't always ask for the right things, all right? We always pray sometimes, even in our high school sports, "Father, help us to have victory." I don't think God cares who wins and loses in our high school and junior high sports. That will get some of you that are coaches. Now, if it's for His glory, if something happens and for His kingdom to be furthered, yes, it does. But simply to have a W or an L in a lose column for your favorite sports team, God doesn't care. We need to learn to ask the things that are according to His will. Preacher, how do I know His will? I don't know what God wants for me to do. Well, do you know that He wants you to get up and love those who are around you? There's a good start. Ask God, what is your will? Maybe your will is for Him to help you. You know that He wants you to get above and beyond a certain addiction in your life. Maybe that's the prayer that you pray. You know some things that God is wanting you to do. Start there. If we're going to claim the promise of God's answered prayers, we're going to have a right relationship. We're going to have the right requests. And the third thing is that we've got to pray for the right reason. John chapter 4, verse 3 says, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasure." You see, when we go to God in prayer, it is not always about us and about what we want and what we desire. We ask with the wrong motives. "God, I want this, and oh, you know I'll do good with that, God. You know I'll..." But God knows your motives. And so we don't always honor the request or the promise of God's answered prayers simply because of our relationship with Him and the requests that we make and how we make those requests. See, it changes. Prayer changes us. There is a chemical, spiritual change that happens, all right? There's something that happens differently in prayer. Prayer is not simply about a list that we give to God. And what we want to instill in this series of prayers, that prayer changes who we are from a spiritual perspective. It takes a common person and a holy God, and you put them together with prayer, and it changes things. Kind of like if you were to take these... Zane, are you watching? All right, here we go. We talked about this earlier. If you take some common white candies, all right, just some simple Mentos, all right, you take a common Diet Coke, which I don't know if this does this to you, if this does something to this and what it does inside your body, I don't know. Those are actually disgusting. I don't know why anybody would drink a Diet Coke, but I was a little thirsty. All right, so you take two common things, a Diet Coke and some candies, all right? And you put them together. I mean, and I don't have the proper tools for this. Maybe I shouldn't do it. Maybe I will. I don't know. I've been scared about doing this for like 2 weeks now. So if you just put them in there, that's what happens. Two common themes, all right? Way cool. Who said church is not fun, all right? Kids, if you do it with a two-liter bottle, you put about 13 in at once, do it outside, but it makes way bigger explosion. That's what prayer does. Prayer does this thing inside of us that changes us spiritually. A silly example, but nevertheless a true idea or thought that prayer changes three things that we're going to go over, and the lesson is yours. Prayer changes lives. More prayer changes who we are. More prayer together changes who we are together. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9 says, two are better than one because they have a good return on their labor. Prayer simply changes us, and prayer together changes us together, because everything is better together when it comes to God and when it comes to prayer. Another resource that should come up on the screen if we put it in the right spot are some calendars, and they're out here. Kiddos, if you want to get a calendar, you want to take it home, you can date it accordingly. They only did four rows. They should have done five, but you can figure that out. And this is just an example, all right? You can take it home, hang it up, so your kids, and this is the power of doing this with our children, so that they can do things. Those are stickers that are on there, on my example calendar. And each little emoji is a day that the family prayed together. The heart stickers were ones where mom and dad prayed together. And then there's a little spot down here for some specific prayer requests. Danny is one of our, she claims us as her parents, her second parents. She's about to have a baby. And so that would be on our list. And Vacation Bible School could be on there. And then on the back side, if you'll click the next screen, there's just some more explanation on what it is. So pray together. It changes lives. It changes who we are. When your kids go and put that sticker, be as creative as you want with that, okay? Get your stickers wherever you want. Be as creative. You can draw on it if you want. But when your kids see that, it changes. Kids see those things. It changes lives. Also, prayer changes our relationship with God. Let you in on something this morning. Before we prayed this morning, God knew what you needed. Did you know that? I mean, the Bible tells us that. That before we pray, God knows what we need. I mean, how cool and awesome is that? That I don't have to inform God about prayer. I don't have to inform God about my life. God already knows. You tell God, say, God, my life is messed up. My life is turned upside down. God says, I knew that. God, I need help paying the bills. He says, I knew that. There's something in prayer, however, that changes our relationship with Him. See, I believe prayer extends more to us in effect. Because God is not in need of our wordy prayers. God's already told us that. He doesn't need to be informed. But when we pray, we seek a relationship with God. And when you pray with your children, when you pray with your kiddos at home, something happens in the family dynamic, much like happened up here on stage. Something changes within. Some things, the Bible says, you don't have because you don't ask. I wonder what some of the things in life we're missing on. Well, some of the things in life that we're missing out on because God, we have not asked God or sought a relationship with Him. You will sin less in a relationship of prayer with God, with your children, with family dynamic, with husbands, spouses. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41 says, watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Someone has said that sin will keep us away from God, or God will keep us away from sin. Changes our lives personally. It changes our relationship with God. And prayer changes our relationship with others. You see, prayer takes you outside of yourself. It takes us outside of a, God, I want this. God, I need that. God, I desire this. It takes us out of a realm of the things that we need. And it says, what do you need? What do you need? What about you back there? It takes us outside when we ask our spouse, what can I pray about for you this week? Versus the things that only I need. You see, it changes. We begin to learn something about people. It brings us together. Some of the greater moments in my family are not when I beat them at whatever game we're playing around the table, which I often do. That's a lie, all right? I'll confess. But it's those moments when we spend time, when the girls have climbed in bed in the evening, and we talk about what's happening and what can we pray about. Sadly, that's the second least thing we do in our world as Christians. And the most least likely is to pray with our spouses. Gallup did a poll, and it's somewhere between the average of 40 to 50% divorce rate in America. Now, let me preface that by saying this is not about picking on people who have lost in their life due to divorce. Simply a stat. And a poll was done that if mamas and daddies, if husbands and wives will pray together, you know what that changes to? Changes to less than 1%. It's actually 1 out of 1,153. Wow. How they did their numbers, and you can throw numbers here and there, and I don't know. But it's a drastic change. So you want to know why we do things like have a home point center? How silly is that to have that? How we try to resource with different books or handouts or calendars or pardon me, or wristbands. Why do we do those things? We do those things because it's important to pray. It's important to resource ourselves with God. Maybe a question this morning for those who have children. When did we stop praying with them? When did we stop holding hands with our younger ones? At what age did they get so big that we weren't so cool? Now, I'm still cool to my children. I mean, if you were to ask them, they would say, my dad is one of the coolest people ever. So I don't have that issue, right? Yes. One just nodded her head. Sometimes we're not as cool as we used to be. But when did we stop praying over our children and with our children? When did we get so busy? When did it become so awkward to pray with a wife or a husband? When did it become so difficult to do those things? So what we intend to do over the next 4 weeks is to challenge us in prayer. You're going to be hearing the word prayer, prayer over and over again. And we believe as a church, the leaders of this church, and Doug and myself, we believe that prayer will change things for us, for the better, for yourselves individually and for yourselves as family. So I want to challenge you to that. I want to challenge you today to pray 752, all right? And part of the purpose of the calendar is so that when it's filled up with things for the family to pray, but yet there's no hearts on there. Kids will say, Mom and Daddy, why haven't you prayed this week? And that's accountability is what it is. So I pray that you take advantage of it. But most of all, I pray that you take advantage of simply prayer and spending time in prayer. Today, as you leave, the wristbands will be given to you. Take as many as you want, like I said. Put them wherever you want to help remind you. Write it on, husbands, take your wife's lipstick. And no, don't do that. Do a dry erase marker. Write 752 on the bathroom mirror. Just so you remember to pray 752. However it takes, whatever it takes, to remember to pray. And so let's do this together as a family. To remember to pray, see what God does. See what kind of chemical, spiritual change will take place for this church. Husbands, pray for and with your wives. Wives, pray for and with your husbands. Parents, pray for your children. Grandparents, pray for and with your grandchildren. This is important and vital to who we are. If you need Jesus this morning, we're gathered here today, and we're gathered in His name. So if you don't have a relationship with Him, and if you've never been baptized into Jesus, I'm going to invite you to come down front during this invitation song. I'm going to invite you to confess in front of everyone His name and to be baptized into His name. Today may be the first day that you start praying. So if we do that, if we accomplish that today, if you go home and you pray with your kids today, you pray with your spouse this evening, you pray simply, spend some time alone with God in prayer. And if we've accomplished that, then that's a good thing today. If you need Jesus, if we can watch you be baptized or pray over you or lift you up into His presence, will you come as we stand and sing?